Thank you, praise and worship team. Hallelujah. Going to turn it over to Pastor. Dismiss the children and youth. Let them go to their classes. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor and praise and glory. We bless you, Lord God, for all that you are, for all that you have, for all that you've done. And Lord God, we thank you. We thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence. I believe, Lord God, for you to just minister to each one that's in this place tonight. And minister, Lord God, to anyone that may be listening to this broadcast over the internet. I ask you, Lord God, to just speak to them and let them know how much you love them. Let them know, Lord God, how much you're on their side. We thank you, Lord God, for the grace that you've extended to us, for all the love and the mercy that's been poured out upon us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the greatness of your bountiful blessings upon every single one of us. And Lord God, I pray tonight that you'd touch our hearts, that you, Lord God, would when we leave this place, that we would leave this place knowing, Lord God, that our relationship with you is secure. Knowing, Lord God, that our walk with you is solid. We thank you, Lord God, for doing that for us. Open our hearts tonight and just encourage us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that we as individuals, that we as people are big on is walks. Taking walks. How many people just take a walk with no other intention other than just relaxing? Just getting yourself in the right kind of mood. You know, you go back into scriptures and you look at the very beginning, and it says that every day the Lord God came down to the Garden of Eden and he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Every day they walked in the garden with God. Every day they walked in the garden with God. You would think that every day walking in the garden with God would isolate you and insulate you and sin-proof you, wouldn't you? Well, evidently, it won't altogether. But when did Adam and Eve decide they did not want to walk with God? When they realized the disobedience in their life. I want to share with you a little bit tonight about walking with God and the blessings of walking with God and how God made it possible for us to walk with him. And I've already referred to Adam and Eve, but I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 5. And in Genesis chapter 5, we're going to read a couple of verses of scripture here. Well, more than a couple, but just a few. Genesis chapter 5, begin with verse 18. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch's father lived to be 962 years old. Okay, according to scripture. Now, Enoch lived 65 years. And begot Methuselah. Now, His dad was 162 years old when Enoch was almost 100 years longer. But Enoch lived 65 years. He got an early start and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. You go back and you read the genealogies of these people. His father, his son, both lived to be 900 and some years old. Very, very uncommon for them not to live to be 800 or 900 years old. Enoch, 365 years. The most godly man of the group had the shortest lifespan. Now, I think one of the things that I want to say is this. When, as long as we are walking on this earth, we are walking separated from our real home. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. I wonder what Enoch and God did during those 300 years. Wonder what they talked about for 300 years. 300 years Enoch walked with God and never got tired of it. And one day they went out for a walk and God said, Enoch, why don't you just come on home? And you know, Enoch didn't say, well, but God, I'm just 365 years old. I mean, my daddy lived to be 900 and something, and you want me to go home at 365? What's wrong with you? You're going to deprive me of 600 more years down here? Isn't that the way we have, the attitude that we have sometimes? We think that anybody, now you have to understand what I'm getting ready to say, anybody that doesn't live to a, quote, ripe old age, missed out on something. Well, what did Enoch miss out on? He missed out on 600 years of watching the world go to hell. He missed out on 600 years of watching all of God's creation basically fall apart. Going from a blessed place in the Garden of Eden to a place where God repented that he'd ever made man. That's what Enoch missed. What was Enoch doing after his 365 years of walking with the Lord? What was he doing for the other 600 years that he missed out on here? See, there's nothing wrong with living your full life. There's nothing wrong with getting everything done here that God wants to get done. But the problem is we get so attached to it that we worry about it being cut short. We worry about the walk. Now, God, I demand my 90 years here. What are you going to do with them? Well, I'm going to enjoy this world. Oh, okay. So you'd rather have another 60 years here, another 50 years here, another 40 years here, than to be in heaven. Well, you put it that way. Kind of don't sound quite as good, does it? You'd rather go through another 40 years down here than to come into my presence for eternity and receive the full blessing. It just doesn't quite sound right to me. Unless the reason that I want to be here is because I'm fulfilling God's purpose for me here on this planet. I want to stay here as long as God wants me to stay here. I want to do everything God has for me to do here on this planet. But there's a lot of things that I can get involved in and all wrapped up in and desire doesn't have anything to do with God's purpose for me being here. But the thing that I want you to see out of this scripture here is that Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And he was only 365 years old. Only 365. That doesn't sound funny to say that. He was only 365 years old. But walking with God has its benefits. It has its rewards. Now I want you to go with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. How I walk determines where I go. And how I walk determines what kind of shape I'm in when I get there. Do you realize that? Do you realize that your gait, and I'm talking about your G-A-I-T, your gait, the way you walk, the way your body is balanced, your walking determines what kind of physical condition you are in when you get to wherever it is that you're going. If you don't believe it, walk a couple of miles with a bad knee and see what the rest of your body feels like when you get there. Have a sprained ankle and walk around on it and find out how the rest of your body feels. How about nothing wrong with you, but your shoes just don't fit right. They're pinching your feet. I remember when Laverne and I, years ago, when we went to Korea. We went to Korea, and bless her heart, right before we left, Aunt Mac gave me a pair of cowboy boots. So I'd have a pair of cowboy boots to wear on our trip over there and be stylish. And she gave them to me, and they were snug. They were snug. And she said, they'll stretch out. They'll stretch out. Well, I put my dress shoes, the smaller shoes, in the suitcase, and I thought, now I'll wear the cowboy boots, and that way they won't take up room in the luggage. So I put the cowboy boots on. They were a little snug, but they were okay. And we got on the plane, and of course we flew from here to, from Louisville, I think, to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta to Los Angeles, and then from Los Angeles to Anchorage, Alaska, and then from Anchorage, Alaska to Seoul, Korea. Well, my feet were uncomfortable during the first part of the trip. And we got into the plane in Anchorage, Alaska on Tuesday night. And we got to Seoul, Korea on Thursday morning. Somewhere in the night, we passed Wednesday and didn't see it because of the international. But it was several hours. I mean, it was like a nearly 20 hours. And if you've never flown much, you might not know that flying does something to your feet, like makes them swell up. After you've been up at that altitude and everything for so long, it just does funny things to you. And one of the things it does is makes your feet swell up. Well, sitting in, and there's not much to do when you're 35,000 feet up in the air and it's night and you're flying from one spot to another and you don't stop for hours and hours and hours and hours. And so we're going through there. And, you know, when you're just sitting, you notice everything. And one of the things that I noticed is that my feet were getting sore and sore and worse by the minute. I was absolutely just beginning to wilt down from those feelings in my feet. And I got to the point, and I told Laverne somewhere over the Pacific Ocean, I've got to pull off these boots. And when I pulled them off, I had the feeling that my feet just went whoosh. But it felt good. Oh, it was such a relief. So I sat there and let my poor feet rest a while. And then we got to Seoul, Korea, and we were getting ready to land. And you know what I realized I was going to have to do? I didn't have any other shoes that I could get to. And I thought, I'm from Kentucky, and there is no way that I'm getting off this plane being from Kentucky and being barefoot. That's just too much baggage. So okay, I'll get these shoes on. I got them on. And every time one of them touched the ground, it was like somebody just driving nails in it. And I thought, oh, Lord, Lord. Oh, just get us off this plane. Get us in the bus. Get us to the motel. Let me get these shoes off. I can do it. Well, there was nearly 200, I think it was. Well, in our group, was there that many? No, there wasn't that many in our group. But there were several groups that came in for this big conference there at Central Gospel Church. And the group that we went with, 60 or 70 people at least, I guess. I can't remember for sure. It's been a long time. But we got there, and we got off the plane, and we didn't go. We didn't get in one of those little things, you know, where you pull up and it comes out and joins and you go out the door and into the thing. We got out on the tarmac, out in the parking lot. Way out there, you know, where the buildings are way over there. So we had to get down, climb down the big high ladder coming out. That's hard to do with sore feet. Got down. I'm ready. Let's get in the bus and go to the motel. No. We've got to make pictures. We've got to get group shots. We've got to line up over here, and everybody's got to get right, and we got to get a picture with all of these dozens of people, and the pictures have got to look good. And so we're out there, and I'm not kidding you. I'm not making this up, and I'm not exaggerating. I was in agony because of my feet. Because of those boots. And I'm thinking, this was a bad decision. I should have wore my tennis shoes or anything other than these boots. And I'm out there, and it just, there is no fun at all. I am having no pleasure. Everybody else, you know, they're all out there. Come here. You know, we're buddies here. We met on the plane coming over here now. Let's get our picture together and all like this. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, I'm hurting. But I finally got through it. But, you know, my feet and my walk almost ruined my trip. I put those boots up, and I never had them on again. While I was over there, I got back home. I tried to stretch them out. I took them back to your mom's place, and she put them on that little thing that she does and stretches them out. I brought them back home, and I put them on time or two. I pulled them off. I gave them away. I found somebody with smaller feet than me. They wanted cowboy boots, and I gave them away. But our walk, or our life, is affected by our walk. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's important how we walk. Look in verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means carefully. Now remember this morning I was talking about slipping? The best way to keep from slipping and falling and hurting yourself is to walk carefully. To watch where you step. To make sure what the terrain is like before you walk on it. If you were on a hill with a 45-degree angle, you wanted to go down that hill, and you had to go down that hill real fast, and you started running. You know what I mean? Well, 45 is like that. 30 is like that or so, but 20. Anything downhill, like this right here, just a slope like that. What happens if you start down that hill and you're really anxious about getting to the bottom? And you got to get there in a hurry. And you keep speeding up to get faster. What happens? When you get to going over that hill like that and somebody says, stop. Is there any problem? If you get to going over that hill real fast and you get off balance, is it any problem? Walk carefully. Keep an eye on where we're going. I can remember one time my cousin and I had been downtown to the movie down here in Columbia, and we were going back up his house. He lived up on Guthrie Street. Had to go up Jamestown Hill. We came across there in front of where Lynn's service station is. Walking along the sidewalk, it was cold. We had on these big coats, had our hands in our pockets. We're walking along, and he's got both hands in his big coat pockets, walking right next to me, going down the sidewalk, trying to stay warm, trying to get home. Wasn't looking for cracks in the sidewalk. Wasn't looking for a piece of where the sidewalk had gotten frozen or something. And you know how where the cracks are, how the one side raised up just a little bit. Not much, just a little bit. But you know when you're walking along and just kind of shuffling, dragging your feet, a little bit matters. So we're walking along, we're talking, he's walking right along next to me, and the next thing I know, he hung his toe on that crack. He went straight forward, just like he had been cut off at the knees, just like he was a tree. He went straight forward like that. He could not get his hands out of his pockets. He hit belly first. Right on that sidewalk. And sort of like I was talking about that incident this morning with the boat and trying to figure out how in the world I kept from falling in the lake. I can see him now, and that's been probably 45 years ago that happened. He hit that sidewalk flat on his stomach. I mean, it sounded all the way through him, you know, whoo! And that boy kept his face from hitting the ground. He had his hands in his pockets, and he hit. And when he hit the ground, he came back with his head. He did a marvelous job of not getting his teeth knocked out. Did not touch his face, but it hit him. And I was a compassionate cousin. I couldn't help but laugh. But he wasn't expecting it. Just wasn't watching where he was walking. Wasn't walking circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise people. Now dropping back to verse 8, look what it says. For you were once darkness. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, he is saying here, Paul is saying to the Ephesians, don't walk like you used to walk. Walk like you need to walk now, like you're a child of the light. You know what the Word of God says? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we're walking in the Word of God, we're not walking in darkness. But there's one other scripture that I want us to go to, and that's in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to begin with verse 34. Luke 11, verse 34. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, this idea of the eye, if the eye is good, your whole body is full of light. The eye is regarded as the lens of the soul and reflects the total orientation of one's life. The image of the good eye is coupled with that of a useful lamp. Both images speak of the positive effect of true enlightenment. In other words, learning what you need to learn in order that you can walk. When we were babies, did we have to learn to walk? There was something that was built into us that made us want to walk, made us able to walk, but we still had to learn to walk. Some people learn to walk at age 6 or 7 months. Some people, they're 12, 15 months. There's cases when people are over 2 years old before they actually really start walking. But we have to learn to walk. And the better we learn to walk, the less accident prone we are. What do we talk about when we talk about somebody having two left feet? What's wrong with your left foot? Why don't we say people have two right feet? Well, he walks like he's got two left feet. Well, put two right feet on there and see if it's any better. You know. But we have to learn to walk. And in our Christian walk, in our walk with God, in our relationship with God, we have to learn how to walk. And I'll tell you something that's better to do. It's better to learn to walk by God's gate than it is to try to get God to walk by yours. Let God teach us how He wants us to walk rather than us trying to teach Him how we want Him to let us walk. Because every one of us would pick less than what we were capable of doing. But I want to address just one other thing about walking, and that's this idea of darkness. We're talked about not walking in darkness. Walk as children of light. The word darkness, this is what it means. To cover. The word is used literally for physical darkness. And metaphorically for spiritual, moral, and intellectual darkness. I'm sure you've walked in the dark. I'm sure there's been some point where you walked in the dark. There may be, and I could give you some examples from my own self where I have run in the dark. I started out walking, but something happened while I was walking that it encouraged me to run. And I can say that the only thing that I ever had happen to me in the dark like that, one time I ran into a clothesline. And that'll stop you. But I had a man tell me a story one time that he was, and I know where it was. I know the place that it happened over on Pettis Fork Creek, where there's some bluffs over there. And this man was, I don't know if he was fox hunting or coon hunting one, and they were on the trail or something, and the dog was barking, and he heard it. Heard the dog out there in front of him. He wasn't familiar with the territory, and he was up on top of the bluff there next to the creek and didn't realize where he was. And he's running out across through there. He ran off the end of that bluff, and it was probably as high as the ceiling. And it didn't break anything, but they said it just really beat him up when he hit the ground. But he was running in the dark. And when he took that, wonder how it felt. I mean, I wonder how it felt to that last, when that foot hit that ledge, and then when that other foot didn't find anything. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be walking along and things to be out of, you know, like even on a step. You know, you miss a step and you fall down. And you know what that feeling is. But I just, you know, it would really seems to me like do something. If all at once you're just hitting the ground like that, and the next thing you're gone. There's no ground. You're airborne. And why? Because you couldn't see. Because you were in the dark. You know, there's a scripture where Paul prayed, and he said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. In other words, get some light on the subject of God so that you'll know what you have rightfully been given. And there's another place where he's talking about people, and he says, if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those whose minds have been blinded by the God of this world in order to keep them from seeing what God has to offer them. Nothing worse than walking in the dark. Flashlight was an awesome invention. It's a whole lot easier to walk for me. It's a whole lot easier and much more secure to me to walk with a flashlight. And I've done it both. Walk with a flashlight as opposed to walking with a lantern. I remember when I was a boy, I used to go fishing with my grandpa. We'd take a lantern. We'd walk. Well, that was great right here as long as you were looking down. But there was just something when we had that flashlight that you know, the lantern, you know, you could hold it up here. You still couldn't see much. But you take a real good flashlight, well, you could see all the way back to the room. You could see 100 feet out in front of you. All that was there. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if there's a way, metaphorically, that you can switch it over or not. But where it says that his word's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, it's like the lantern. Because when that was written, they didn't have flashlights. Now, whether we can rightfully turn it over now and say, okay, Lord, your word's like a flashlight. I can see further now with your word. I don't know whether we can see any further with the word of God than they could see the first century with the word of God as far as the path in life. But one thing that we are assured of is that there is enough light in the word of God that every step that we take will be illuminated. We do not have to step into the dark. The only reason we have to step into the dark is because we haven't illuminated the path with the Word of God. The darkness, arises from, and here's the interesting things that I thought. If I'm walking in darkness, and I want to get out of the darkness, but to see what it says causes the darkness. The darkness arises from error. Error. Just being wrong about something. You know, a person can be in the dark about healing by believing that healing passed away with the apostles. And you can walk in dark there and there'd be healing all around you, but you don't see it because in that area you're in the dark. Healed people all around, but you don't ever see them because you're in the dark in that area. You could apply that to the gifts of the Spirit. You could apply it to speaking in tongues. You could apply it to prosperity. It's all around you, but you just don't see it because you're blind due to the error that you have in that area. Like the people that believe that God doesn't want you to prosper. If you're going to be a good Christian, you can't have anything. The darkness that hinders our walk arises from error, ignorance. Ignorance. And you know, ignorance is easier than you might think. It's easier to be ignorant than we want to acknowledge. Ignorant doesn't mean there's anything inherently wrong with you. Ignorance doesn't mean that you got brain damage. Ignorance means that you just never learned what it was that you needed to learn. You know. I don't think that men being ignorant of women is something that's inherent and genetic. I think it's just there because most men never took the time to learn anything about women. And vice versa. Error, ignorance, disobedience. One result of walking in the dark, or one cause of walking in the dark, is disobedience. Just not paying attention to God. Not doing what God says do. Not being willing to let Him be God and us let Him. Disobedience brings darkness. Willful blindness. Willful blindness. It's just saying, I don't want to see. Don't talk to me about forgiveness. Don't talk to me about giving the tithe. I don't want you talking to me about church involvement. I don't believe you have to go to church to be right with God. No. You don't have to wear shoes to be a human either. Why do we wear them? Because it makes things a whole lot better. Why does God tell us about doing certain things? Because we can't do them? No. Because it makes things a whole lot better. But willful blindness just says, I don't want to see. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you say that you have no sin. Therefore, your sin remains. What was he saying to them? You are willfully declaring that you don't have any sin. That you're righteous by what you've done. Willful blindness and rebellion. Darkness arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, and rebellion. Rebellion. I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but this is what I want to do. So I'm going to do what I want to do rather than doing what I know I should do. And then when I do that, I begin to walk in darkness. And walking in darkness will cause you to fall into any hole that's in the road. It will cause you to get snared by any snare that's put out there. Any little rope trap that the devil puts out there, he will catch you if you try to walk in darkness. And you know, you can have a whole lot of stuff happen to you in darkness, and if you don't ever get the light turned on, you really don't know what happened. Now picture that out here in the world where somebody doesn't know the Lord. They're in spiritual darkness. They don't have any teachings. They're ignorant of the things of God. They're living in the world out here. They're living their whole life just like he's in, walking in darkness. And every time something happens, and we look at them, and we think, duh, don't you understand that? Don't you see that? No, they don't, because they are in darkness. They don't see what happened. You're walking along in darkness and something whacks you in the head, raises a knot, and you're crying, but it's dark and you didn't see anything. And somebody says, you know, well, what happened? I don't know. Well, don't let it happen again. Okay. And you just keep walking in darkness, and then a little bit later, whack, there's another one. You say, I can't believe you let that happen twice. What? I didn't see anything. Why? Because you're walking in darkness. We need to learn to walk in the light. The Bible tells us to walk in the light as He is in the light. Can you walk with God and stay in the dark? God is light. If God walks the dark hills, they become light. Remember that song years and years ago, about 30 years ago, God walks the dark hills? And I know some people, they got all, well, I'm going to sing that because God doesn't walk in the darkness. No, but God walks the dark hills, and it's not God's dark hills, it's yours. He's walking your dark hills to give you some light. Walk up and say, hey, walk with me and I'll get you out of here. Walk with me and you'll make it through this. Walk with me and you'll be in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what happens? You remember what it says? We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. There's no excuse for us to be in the dark about anything. I'm not saying we aren't. I'm just saying there's no excuse. If we're in the dark about anything regarding God, it's because we haven't made an effort to get out of the dark. So let's walk in the light. Let's walk in God's Word. The way you get out of the darkness and into the light is to get out of ourselves and get into God's Word. And walk with it. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, this week, help us to walk in the light. Help us, Lord God, not to allow any of the things that would cause us to be blind, to walk in blindness, to walk in darkness. Let us not let those things happen, but let us be determined that we're going to walk as children of light. That we're going to walk in the light. That we're going to see where we're stepping. That our feet are not going to be taken by the snare of the fowler. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us that grace. And you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Help us to walk in them the way we should. In Jesus' name, amen.